such as the heart and liver, were burned. First of all, there are a lot more vital organs than just the heart and liver.
No, Jaishna, it's only the heart and the liver.
It's only the heart and liver, but, you know,
it's one just big connection of the heart and the liver. There's nothing else in there.
So they were burned, and some burned the entire corpse for good measure. It is believed that some even ate the ashes.
Ah!
Which is disgusting.
Ew, that's disgusting.
It's so
like
gross.
We're going to sprinkle a little bit of Sally on
your
steak.
That is so gross. So remember when you said that every town had its mysteries?
I do remember when we said that.
Well, take Jewett City, Connecticut. I can't say it. Connecticut. Oh, my God.
That's all I'm calling it now.
For example, it's a small city that's home to 3,500 people and a handful of vampires.
Just a little sprinkling of
that is literally less than our school, the population of our school.
It was a teeny tiny little city.
Wow. It's crazy. So the story begins like this. The Ray family was made up of a mother and a father, and there were five children. Between 1845 and 1854, the father and two sons died of consumption, and a third son took ill. The family, believing their deceased relatives were the cause of the problem, exhumed the body and burned them.
Ooh.
This occurred in many families during this time, where families who lost loved ones of consumption would burn the lungs, heart, and liver.
They're throwing lungs in
there. They're
the
throwing
now.
Lungs in there, okay. Of their last deceased in order to prevent any more from having it. So the Ray family plot can be found toward the northern end of the small graveyard known as Jewett City Cemetery, which is located at the terminus of Anthony Street in Connecticut, a borough of the town of Griswold.
I never knew where that was located until I Google Mapsed it.
You know, Griswold reminds me of, what's it, Gringotts from Harry Potter.
Or Griswold Family Christmas.
Huh. Oh, yeah. So over the course of a period of time that spanned from the 1840s to early 1850s, Henry and two of his adult sons, Lemuel and Alicia, died of a peculiar wasting away disease. Then in 1854, a third son, Henry Nelson Ray, was struck by the strange disease, which today would have been identified as tuberculosis.
Consumption.
Yeah, but back then, this was clearly the work of a vampire.
Very clearly. They don't know how disease works.
Right. Come on, dude. So the family exhumed the bodies of Lemuel and Alicia. And burned them right there in the graveyard. So the macabre family reunion made the newspapers of the day, and due in large part to the media attention, the Ray family are simply known today as the Jewett City Vampires.
Ooh.
Yeah. So vampire panics eventually died down in the 20th century as the fictional monsters replaced folk beliefs. However, there was a strange resurgence in the late 1960s when Sean Manchester, the president of the British Occult Society,
it's a thing,
a great title, said that a vampire was causing people to see strange things in London's famous Highgate Cemetery.
And I looked more into this story. There are a lot of things that apparently went down in Highgate.
I believe it. I feel like London is just the breeding ground for things.
It
like
is.
This.
Have you ever been to the London Bridge. There's a really weird little horror thing under the London Bridge about like the bodies that are supposed to
I
be under
it.
The London Bridge. It's really cool. I went with my family and my friend Casey. It was weird.
Yeah.
But
I don't doubt
I enjoyed it.
So newspapers had already covered strange and haunting reports of a tall figure with burning eyes and other spectral sights floating in the cemetery. And journalists quickly picked up Manchester's theory that these sightings were the work of an Eastern European vampire. Newspapers even embellished his claims a bit and called the figure a king vampire, and writing that the vampire had practiced black magic in Romania before traveling to London in his coffin.
I love that. It's just like, coffin Uber.
Literally, what? That makes no sense, but.
Beep, beep.
Your hearse is here.
It's going to take us a hot sec to get to
God.
The 70s.
We have such a bad sense of humor. It's
me
okay.
Too. I love this.
So in 1970.
You have to do this in a British accent.
I can't. That's no.
Manchester TV news team that he planned to exorcise the vampire on Friday the 13th. That night, hundreds of young people turned up at Highgate to see him perform an exorcism. You can continue because I'm laughing.
You know, I actually have a weird tidbit of information for Friday the 13th.
Oh, I thought you were about to say about exorcisms.
That too, but.
All right, go for it.
No, in Mexico, it is actually Tuesday the 13th instead of Friday the 13th that they consider unlucky. And people won't, like, get married on that day. They won't travel on that day. Like, they won't go to work that day. It's crazy.
can we start?
Can we start doing? Yeah, I would like that. And he never showed and turned out to be a fake. Ooh. And was accused of legend tipping.
What is legend tipping?
That is when young people test their bravery with paranormal feats.
I love how that's a legitimate thing.
Yeah. It's like an actual thing.
Oh, it is. Yeah.
The Highgate Panic wasn't a case of vampires being scapegoated for disease, but rather a media sensation.
Sounds like something people do today. Logan Paul.
Oh.
Is he he's tall, he's pale, and he's skinny. Is he a vampire?
He's just disgusting.
Agreed.
So in the history of vampire legends, the Highgate incident is a modern phenomenon. It's less to do with the desire to control a community's health and a lot more in common with modern scares, like the creepy clown sightings or abandoned building with stories of ghosts.
Ooh.
So even if people don't believe it, they're still drawn to the hype.
I mean, I'm drawn to the hype.
I'm drawn to the hype. This I don't know cool. if I believe it, but I am drawn to it.
Yeah. And Sean Manchester's claim was quite ridiculous. Yeah,
it was. And I do think it is ignorant to think that we are, like, the only, things in this universe. It is ignorant to think that. But I don't know if I would.
I don't know if I would say, like, aliens or ghosts.
But I'm also not, like,
denying it.
Show me if it's true. Like, I'm not.
Oh, show me if it's true.
Yeah. Like, I mean, I'm not trying to die.
I'm pretty sure there's a demon living in my house stealing my left socks.
You know, I have a friend who thinks she has a little ghost that it's a friendly ghost.
Ours is a friendly demon.
What's his name? She calls him something. Their entire family, like, whenever something like happens or like something falls, they'll be like, oh, Desmond. It's just Desmond. And it's like,
Desmond,
friendly
ours
ghost.
Is, what's his name? Bartholomew. Our demon is Bartholomew.
That's funny.
And he steals left socks and shoes out of our cupboards.
You know, it might just be your cat.
Maybe. Olga, now is the time to tell me if you're possessed.
Oh my gosh.
We're going to
call in Olga.
We're going to exercise my cat.
Oh my God.
So, should we take a little break?
Yeah, we'll take a quick little break, but stay here on 91.3 for more of Graveyard Shift.
The next song is Tokyo, Vampires and Wolves. Hey, hey, look at that. It matches our theme by the Wombats.
Your advice.
Hello and welcome back to the Graveyard Shift here on 91.3 WHJE with your hosts Abby and
Jaishna.
So that was weird.
You know, I literally wasn't trying to do that. I'm kind of sick right now, so my throat just kind of gave up for a second. That's so awkward. But hello, I'm Jaishna.
It worked with our theme though.
It did.
So before that break, we talked about the Jewett City vampires and the vampire panic of New England in the 1700s, which is crazy.
Very crazy.
In my opinion.
It was weird, crazy, and fascinating all at the same time.
Oh, yeah. It's the whole thing about, like, education is the key to solving ignorance. Because these people, you could have saved so much hassle by just being like, you know, the symptoms all look the same.
Yeah, but the thing is, stuff like this is what makes sure history doesn't repeat again.
Sorry, so I just, like, deleted all of my stuff on here.
Oh, my God. That's okay. You know,
it's a we're ghost. Good. We're blaming the ghost of the studio. We need to exercise it. So, how about we talk about some urban legends
okay.
now?
Because
those are really fun. They're always the campfire horror stories. And we just want to cover everything and make it creepy, but also keep it real with you.
I'm so ready.
All right. So, I'll read the legends. And, Jaishna, will you tell us the truth?
I would absolutely love to.
All right. Sweet. So, here's the first legend. Unknowing tourists are drugged, carved up, and robbed of their healthy organs. Upon coming to, they find themselves packed in ice in bathtubs with a note that reads, "If you want to live, go to the hospital immediately." Jaishna, what is the truth behind that?
In 1997, a chain letter email hoax went viral. The bulk of the message described the misdeeds of a highly organized gang operating in various U.S. cities who were supposedly drugging businessmen on work trips, extracting their organs, and then selling them for profit on the organ transplant black market. Through the National Kidney Foundation, that has proven to be nonsense. Organ thieving is no joke. In fact, this ABC News report from 2008 centers on three Indian men who were lured to a hospital outside Delhi with the promise of work opportunities. The men were then held at gunpoint and anesthetized. Then they woke to excruciating pain. Gigantic scars and fewer organs.
Oh. Oh, I don't.
That
like
was
that.
Awful. That's so awful. I that don't someone like that. Literally steals your body. Like, hello. Mm-hmm. No.
But it's a thing.
It is a thing, and it's so awful. There's just so many awful things in the world. It upsets me. It really does.
Ugh. I know. Yeah. All right. How about another one? So here's the next legend. A Halloween performer decides the ultimate climactic scare is to pretend to hang himself in front of an audience. The only problem is he actually hangs himself.
And oh,
the performer dies,
my God.
Onlookers applaud the authenticity of the act. Jaishna, what is the truth?
This legend depicted all over screens, big, the gallows, and small tales from the crypt has many variations. Each version usually involves a male performer, a rope, and the deadly inability to master cheap imitation. The real-life tragedies that inspired this legend involved the same elements. In 1990, a New Jersey teen named Brian Jewell... Wait a minute. That's a little similar to Jewett City.
Vampires. Hey.
Yep. Died performing a hanging stunt at the entry of a hayride attraction. In North Carolina that same year, 15-year-old William Anthony Odom accidentally hung himself while staging a gallows scene at a Halloween party.